Peace Health Peace Harbor Medical Center presents Doc Talk, an informative health series educating our community on the services provided at Peace Health. We will begin with our host, George Henry, after these messages.
With flu season just around the corner, now is the prime time to schedule your annual flu shot. The U.S. Centers for Disease Control recommend that everyone aged 6 months and older, and especially older adults, get vaccinated against the flu. Peace Health Medical Group in Florence has adult and pediatric flu shots available. Call 541-997-7134 to make an appointment for your flu shot today. It only takes a minute and helps protect you, your family, and the community this flu season. So call 541-997-7134 today. There's no reason to be bothered with foot and ankle pain, especially now that Peace Health Peace Harbor Medical Center has a new podiatrist. Dr. Joseph Wilkinson has a wide variety of procedures and methods to alleviate foot and ankle discomfort. Many issues can be resolved without surgery. Whether you suffer from pain due to old injuries or you need a little comfort for those days when you just want to get out and hike the trails, give Dr. Wilkinson a call. 541-997-7104. Peace Health Peace Harbor Orthopedic Clinic, 541-997-7104. The month of October is Breast Health Awareness Month. Breast Cancer Awareness Month, I should say. Is that right?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. But then again, breast health goes right along with that. You know, you want to make sure that you're healthy. I've got Justine Parker with me today, who is an MD at Peace Health Peace Harbor Medical Center. And how are you doing?
I'm doing very well.
So obviously, you're here because of women's health, and we're going to talk about that. But let's talk about your background a little bit. And I like trying to get to know everybody when they come in. So since I haven't had a chance to really sit down with you yet, let's talk about, what were you like in high school? what was it in high school that must have turned your head toward the medical field, if it was in high school?
Yeah, well, I decided I wanted to go into medicine in high school, and I didn't have any doctors in my family, so I didn't know to know better. I didn't know about the debt or the training and all the long nights, but I did know that I wanted to work with patients towards their healing. I had seen a lot of suffering and low housing and financial problems. Basically, any problem a human can have is always worse when they're ill. And so it occurred to me that if I could work on healing people's bodies, they could be better able to do the work of their lives. So that was the kind of theory behind going into college and pre-med and medical school. And then the reality was something a little different, but also wonderful.
So then I picture this very compassionate young woman in high school who has a passion for people and a passion for people that are around them that are sick. Did you see any of that growing up with friends or family that made you kind of, you know,
I had a really lovely childhood. So I wasn't particularly close to home, but, I traveled abroad and did, work mission trips. And certainly living in Chicago, it's hard to be far from poverty and low income, low education.
Mm-hmm. But so a lot of caring and nurturing within your family, even though you were abroad some.
Yeah. And, both my parents are teachers, and they kind of expected me to go into teaching. But I think there's a lot of education and teaching in medicine, and that's probably 90% of what I spend my time doing in a patient visit. And that's a really edifying part of the patient visit because it's empowering people about their own bodies.
So you're from the Chicago area.
Mm-hmm.
So what was that like? I mean, because, we hear about Chicago today. We only hear about the bad part of Chicago.
Oh, Chicago's delightful. I love Chicago. Great food, really beautiful architecture. Swimming in Lake Michigan is really fun when they let you. They have pulled me from the lake once I jumped in, and no one else was in the lake. And I thought, oh, wonderful, the lake's all mine. And then a lifeguard came, running over and said, there's too much E. coli in the lake today. You have to get out.
Oh, no.
So being able to swim in the lakes and rivers and sometimes the ocean here has been a really sweet change.
So you hear a lot about the hot dogs and the pizza. Is it true?
I mean, the pizza's fantastic. It's the one major thing I miss here. And I these little tiny thin pizzas make no sense to me. Yeah. I want to be able to gag on cheese.
There you go. Yeah. Deep dish and lots of cheese.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. So off to college then. Mm-hmm. Where did you go to college?
So I went out east to Wellesley, right outside of Boston, and that was a really wonderful experience. So 4 years out on the East Coast and then came back for medical school to the Midwest.
Okay, and where did you go to medical school?
It's called Chicago College of Osteopathic Medicine. So it's actually an osteopathic medical school, and the neat thing about osteopathic colleges are that they tend to produce more family medicine doctors. So I was surrounded by a huge cohort of, you know, other classmates who were also going into primary care. And that's a good group of people to be around because they see the world a little bit differently than the specialists.
I was going to say, do osteopaths tend to be more holistic, whole body kind of healing than, say, other?
I think that's the trend, academic foundation. That's kind of the cultural foundation from which the academics grow. The academics are otherwise extremely parallel and similar to MD schools, but there is that kind of cultural understanding that's beaten into us as students that really works to honor patients' inherent ability to self-heal. And I think that's something I've definitely incorporated into my view of medicine and my day-to-day practice. And it's a really spectacular approach to medicine because it's very hopeful and edifying. You know, you're working with somebody whose body is always working towards health. Even the sickest person, there's some part of their body that is working towards health and working well towards that health. And so that's what we're trained to collaborate with as physicians. And that was a good upbringing for me.
So you graduated from college, graduated from med school. Did your residency in Chicago as well?
Yeah. You know, in medical school, I did an extra fellowship year. So I did one extra year in anatomy and research and teaching. And that was good training. And then I did a residency program in Chicago for 3 years in family medicine. And that's where I fell in love with women's health as well as family medicine.
And then was it direct to here or did you go somewhere
I did
else?
Another fellowship, my last one. I don't think I can do anymore. I don't think they'll let me. So I did my last fellowship in maternal child health, which is high-risk obstetrics, and it's a fellowship for family medicine physicians who want to do more high-risk OB care. So as family medicine docs, you can do the whole spectrum of care from newborn to geriatric, including women's health and OB, but this fellowship allows me to do cesarean sections and tubal ligations and to deal with high-risk patients with more ease because now I have a little bit more experience with that.
So then when did you make it to Florence?
11 months ago.
And you came directly from where?
From Chicago. My fellowship.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Why Florence?
You know, I was looking.
Were you recruited, by the way, or were you looking?
I was looking, and I was looking in beautiful places. And so the Pacific Northwest was a place I was interested in. And, well, the first thing that piqued my interest was the hospital's name. I love the name Peace Health. I was a peace and justice studies major in college. So having peace in the title, I just pictured my name on a business card with the words peace and the word health. Mm-hmm. And I liked the look of that in my imagination. So that attracted me initially. And then reading the job description, and I think Ron Shear had put something about how he'd caught a fish at his lunch break one clinic day, and I thought, you know, I'm not a fisher person, but I like the idea of a work-life balance, and that seemed to speak to that. So I think that if I'm well in my off moments, I'm going to be my best doctor on my on moments. So, and then I interviewed here, and it's just so fantastically beautiful. I feel like I wasted time in my life before getting here, being contextualized by the stars and the ocean and the rivers. It's just really fantastic.
And we kind of joke here that, you know, we tell everybody that it rains so much so that they stay away.
Well, this last winter, I'm not even sure it rained. I don't remember exactly.
It didn't rain that much. No, it didn't. We're talking with Justine Parker. She's at Peace Health Peace Harbor Medical Center. And we're going to be right back and talk about Breast Cancer Awareness Month here on this edition of Doc Talk. There's no reason to be bothered with foot and ankle pain, especially now that Peace Health Peace Harbor Medical Center has a new podiatrist. Dr. Joseph Wilkinson has a wide variety of procedures and methods to alleviate foot and ankle discomfort. Many issues can be resolved without surgery. Whether you suffer from pain due to old injuries or you need a little comfort for those days when you just want to get out and hike the trails, give Dr. Wilkinson a call. 541-997-7104. Peace Health Peace Harbor Orthopedic Clinic. 541-997-7104. With flu season just around the corner, now is the prime time to schedule your annual flu shot. The U.S. Centers for Disease Control recommend that everyone aged 6 months and older, and especially older adults, get vaccinated against the flu. Peace Health Medical Group in Florence has adult and pediatric flu shots available. Call 541-997-7134 to make an appointment for your flu shot today. It only takes a minute and helps protect you, your family, and the community this flu season. So call 541-997-7134 today. Speaking with Justine Parker at Peace Health Peace Harbor Medical Center. She is very involved in women's health there. And as part of what you do, you probably see women in all areas of health, right? Not just necessarily breast health. Also, childbearing years and stuff like that. You get involved in all that?
Yeah, from the teenage years all the way to geriatric medicine. And women's health is a part of that whole spectrum. And so you're right that breast cancer awareness and breast cancer screening is something that we talk about in every well woman visit, and take into account a patient's risk factors and history, and then the recommendations based on her age.
Now, I know over time, the mammograms have gotten so much better. I mean, you can take slices and look at things that are much smaller than you ever could before. Are those tiny things that you sometimes see in there that important to catch right away, or is there sometimes when it's maybe not going to progress to something else, or do you even know?
Well, that I think you bring up a good point that any kind of imaging, mammography is one of those, can give you useful information, and it can also give you extraneous information. And whenever we see something atypical on an image or a mammogram, we're going to act on it. And sometimes they're benign. We end up biopsying and it's benign, but way better to do a biopsy and have it be benign than to have missed it. And so one of the risks of getting a mammogram is that you get more intervention. If we find something, we do follow-up mammograms and biopsies, and that can be stressful for a woman. But I think that those risks of being concerned and potentially having an unnecessary biopsy are so much lower than the benefits that screening provides. And we've got a lot of data over many, many decades and studying hundreds of thousands of women that mammograms save lives. And there are various recommendations on the frequency. And really, it involves a conversation between a patient and her doctor to determine the frequency of mammograms and how to be most safe given a woman's history. But at least every 1 to 2 years, starting at 40 or 45, and going forward from there.
Because I know in the last maybe 24, 36 months, the recommendations kind of changed a little bit. Like they, certain women in certain categories can go a little bit longer necessarily, but that's not necessarily your recommendation.
I think that one of the things I believe in strongly as a physician is patient autonomy. And so I think that if we present the data, and in the case of breast cancer, there is varied and conflicting data. But coming from, two or three good groups, the American Radiologists Association, the Cancer Association, the United States Preventive Task Force, all of these groups have made recommendations based on research, and they're a little bit in conflict. But it's worth presenting all that data to a woman and letting her decide based on, our shared discussion of her personal and family risk, what works for her priorities. Some women want to be as interventional as possible. They value knowing exactly what's going on and being as aggressive as possible. Other women want to be a little bit more laid back and they want to be safe, but they don't want to over-intervene. And so being able to have a discussion with their doctor allows us to choose something that's safe, something that's within a safe practice of medicine, and also very patient-centered.
This might be totally off the subject, but if it is, we can always edit it out. But how does extreme behavior in, say, like in the public, like say for Jolie, Angelina
okay.
Jolie, doing that preventative, is that something that is frightens women, or is that something that empowers women?
There is increasing data on the BRCA gene and certain risky genes that can predispose women to aggressive cancers. And I think that she had that gene, and it would make sense then. She was probably acting under the recommendation of a physician to go ahead and have a prophylactic or preventative mastectomy. And that can be the case for a very select few women. It's not common that a doctor would ever recommend that. But there are some cases where it would be appropriate to offer that.
Right. So women shouldn't necessarily look at that and say, oh my goodness, I have to be afraid of it. They have to get their individual statistics and for their family history and all that and find out what's going on with them.
Yeah. And the thing I like to tell women is that if we do screening mammograms every 1 to 2 years, we're going to tend to find something a little bit smaller and earlier and less progressed than if we were to be totally if we were to not intervene at all and have a cancer progress over many, many years and go undetected. And so if you find a tiny little cancer, you can do a lumpectomy or something less invasive than a mastectomy, for instance.
But is it true or not true, and you can correct me, is it that all of us have the potential for the cancer gene?
There are certain things that increase our risk of cancer and breast cancer among it. So smoking, family history, whether or not a woman breastfed, certain drug exposures or chemical exposures, radiation exposure. So there are things that will take a genetic predisposition and heighten it. So it's both the genetics and the environmental factors. Yeah.
How is the situation set up here at Peace Health, Peace Harbor Medical Center? Do you have a separate clinic that women can come to?
Yeah, so we have the 340 Clinic. That is our women's health clinic, and it's staffed by three full-time live in Florence physicians, myself among them. And we do preventive women's health screening. We've got no wait list. Women can get in on a very easy basis. And during that visit, that's when we talk about preventive measures, whether it's a bone density screen or a colonoscopy or, in this case, a mammogram.
So it's interesting, and I know you don't know this, but I think I spoke last year about this and the fact that when I did a medical program in North Carolina when I was working with one of the hospital systems there, I actually went in and had a mammogram because there are some cases where what I think is like 3% maybe of men are susceptible to that as well.
Yeah.
Is that something that you would provide here if a man wanted to make sure, or is that?
We would probably do imaging on a man if he had some physical exam finding. Mm-hmm. And you're right, men can get breast cancer, but we don't screen them because the yield would be so low. We would have to do a ton of mammograms and end up exposing men to more risk and consequences than benefit.
I mean, I would imagine the female anatomy versus the male anatomy. Do we know why women tend to be hit harder with this than men?
Well, there's more duct tissue, mammary duct tissue, more breast tissue. So that's certainly the largest difference, I would say.
Mm. Okay. Yeah. All right. We're talking with Dr. Justine Parker. She's at Peace Health Peace Harbor Medical Center. We're talking Breast Cancer Awareness Month and other medical issues. And we'll be back in just a moment on this edition of Doc Talk. With flu season just around the corner, now is the prime time to schedule your annual flu shot. The U.S. Centers for Disease Control recommend that everyone aged 6 months and older, and especially older adults, get vaccinated against the flu. Peace Health Medical Group in Florence has adult and pediatric flu shots available. Call 541-997-7134 to make an appointment for your flu shot today. It only takes a minute and helps protect you, your family, and the community this flu season. So call 541-997-7134 today. There's no reason to be bothered with foot and ankle pain, especially now that Peace Health Peace Harbor Medical Center has a new podiatrist. Dr. Joseph Wilkinson has a wide variety of procedures and methods to alleviate foot and ankle discomfort. Many issues can be resolved without surgery. Whether you suffer from pain due to old injuries or you need a little comfort for those days when you just want to get out and hike the trails, give Dr. Wilkinson a call. 541-997-7104. Peace Health Peace Harbor Orthopedic Clinic. 541-997-7104. Talking with Justine Parker on this edition of Doc Talk, and we're talking Breast Cancer Awareness Month and women's health in general. Now, you guys are getting a new mammography machine.
Yeah, we're getting a new mammogram machine, and that's going to be arriving this spring. And it's a 3D mammogram, and so it's going to be more accurate and also more comfortable for patients. It's not a comfortable exam. I think any woman who has had a mammogram will tell you that. And from what I've heard, this machine makes it a little bit more comfortable for women and more accurate, which is good. For women with dense breasts or with concerning history, we had to be sending them to Eugene for a 3D mammogram because it's a little bit more accurate, and now we get to make it more convenient and women can stay here in Florence.
That's pretty nice. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good. Now, women can contact you guys directly, or do they need a recommendation?
Yeah, women can make their own appointments. Many women who come and see us have primary care physicians, and they also come to see us for women-specific needs, and that's just fine.
So now, you mentioned earlier that you can do high-risk pregnancy things.
Mm-hmm.
And that. Do you find that there's going to be much need for that here? I mean, you've been here 11 months. Is that necessarily something that you'll use a lot here?
You know, I have already really seen a lot of high-risk obstetrics here, and it's never something you want to have in a pregnancy, but you also want to be ready for it if it does happen. And so it comforts me that I can deal with these high-risk problems if they were to arise acutely, anything from very high blood pressure, something we call preeclampsia, to hemorrhage. All these things require really quick response times, and I think that as a team in our labor and delivery unit, the doctors and the nurses, have been responding really well and appropriately to the risky things that have come through the doors. Most of the time, pregnancy is healthy, and it's a chance to empower women and praise what is normal and educate, and that's what I really like about obstetrics. But some of the time, it can get scary, and it can require acute and high intervention. And when those moments come, you want to be ready. And in the last 11 months, I felt very happy to be here. It's been a pleasure to work in a smaller hospital where you can keep women safe and you can provide high quality care, but it also isn't just this bigger bureaucratic metropolitan hospital like when I was in Chicago, and there are just all these policies and things that weren't as patient centric. And I feel like we can give
more
good,
like a revolving door
kind
of thing, where, hey, you're in, you're out.
So I think women get a little bit more, I know for a fact women get more personalized care here, and that's been a real pleasure to provide and to see women being so grateful.
Now, there's in some of the larger cities, there's a lot of data that suggests that women in general, and I don't know if it's at the behest of their doctor or their own decision, where they are opting more for planned births, cesareans and stuff like that. Is that something that's a dangerous thing, or is it something that is fine because the technology is there to do it?
Cesarean sections carry risks, and whenever we're trying to decide with patients about an intervention or a plan going forward, we're always trying to weigh the risks versus the benefits for their particular case. And in a woman, for instance, who has a breech baby, a baby who's not head down, the risks of cesarean section are far lower than any risk of a vaginal delivery.
Birth, yeah.
And so we assume those risks because we want the best outcome. Now, in a woman who has a low risk pregnancy, the baby's head down, there's no reason to do anything but a vaginal delivery, it could potentially be putting her in more harm's way for us to do a cesarean section just because of an elective.
It's convenient for me to do that.
Birth is so hard and it can be so traumatizing. But at the end, whether or not the woman was able to have a vaginal delivery or had to have a cesarean section, the calmness and the power that I see on those women's faces and their partners' faces is a really impressive moment. And so whether it's a C-section, I think we're still able to achieve that and help women feel like they had a birth that was acceptable and met their need for being in control and safe, or vaginal delivery.
Well, my daughter was born vaginally. My son was born cesarean. Because my son had a really big head and he was not going to come out. So I've seen both instances of that, and I was able to actually be in there when they took him out. Mm. And the recovery, is so much harder on a woman when she's got to go through that. I mean, obviously, because you're cutting muscle and tissue and all that stuff. So it's probably not, if you can avoid it, it's probably not a good thing, right?
Yeah. And we do this really neat protocol here in Florence that's becoming more popular nationally, which is called a family-centered cesarean section. And that tries to be as safe as possible, but where we can, try to be as family-centered as possible. So we can often drop the drape when we're delivering the newborn so that the parents can see us delivering the baby from over the pregnant belly. And then in the operating room, we'll actually put the baby on top of the mom's chest, and they'll start breastfeeding in the OR, which is a great way for the parents to start to bond. And it also has been shown to be very safe for the baby. It lowers their heart rate and the respiratory rate. It calms them. That skin-to-skin time is precious and important.
I don't know if it's normal, but I mean, I was actually there while they were cutting and opening and handed me the baby. And I was like, whoa, that's kind of, it was an awesome experience. I'm not, you know, not downplaying it at all, but it was just something that was really unexpected. So I don't know how often that happens, but that was pretty wild.
We try to keep the dads upright. We don't want anybody fainting. So often we have them behind the drape. And, you know, you mentioned pain. We're working hard to develop a good pain protocol so that women are able to bond and breastfeed without pain interrupting that. And also trying to lower the amount of narcotic use, which is a big part of the national conversation, trying to keep patients healthy long term.
And we've had a long conversation with Bill Prosser regarding that and about how that goes. So yeah, that's a very important thing too. So other women's health issues that you see a lot of on a daily basis? I mean, obviously we still want to say that, you know, it's Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Women, you know, from 40 on should start, you know, thinking about getting their mammograms. We definitely want to talk about that. But other issues that might be out there that,
you know, I think from a preventive standpoint, it's worth talking about pap smears as well. Breast cancer is one of the leading causes of women's cancers and preventable in many times. So is cervical cancer. Cervical cancer can be, the risk of cervical cancer can be decreased by, you know, condom use and safe sex practices, but also by a vaccine now. It's the only vaccine we have that prevents cancer. And so the Gardasil vaccine is something we often talk about with young women who are under 26 and are candidates for that. And then pap smears. So we do screening pap smears at the Women's Health Clinic, and there are various recommendations that we're following to keep women safe but not over test. And so that's another thing that we do frequently in the Women's Health Center. And then a lot of prenatal care. And so talking with women about preventive measures to keep the pregnancy healthy from the start. And so we prefer if women present to the clinic as soon as possible when they know they're pregnant so we can start to educate them and collaborate on their health early on.
Is there as much information about information and studies about cervical cancer as there is about breast cancer, say?
Yeah, I think that it is. Because it is so preventable, there has been a lot of research in the last 10 or 20 years trying to clarify the best practice. And so I think we've got really a lot of good research supporting the recommendations that we're working with now for pap smears. And the incidence of cervical cancer has plummeted because of the way that we're screening women now. We have a lot of measures that we can implement before having to remove a woman's cervix and uterus, for instance. So there are a lot of in-clinic procedures we can do to cure early precancer.
You mentioned the use of condom versus non-condom. Mm-hmm. Is there a sperm issue or something that can cause problems with a woman's cervix?
Yeah, exactly. So HPV is the virus that gets transmitted sexually. And I think in high school sex ed classes, we're talking about all the other STDs. Mm-hmm. HPV is actually the most commonly transmitted virus sexually. And over many, many years, if HPV stays in the back of the vagina, it can contribute to cervical cancer. It can cause cervical cancer. And so condom use obviously prevents the spread of HPV and therefore the virus that can cause the cancer.
And there's ways to check, obviously, if you have that.
Yeah, right? That's men what we're checking. Women. That's what we're checking with pap smears. We're checking for the presence of HPV as well as the presence of abnormal cells.
Can a man also get checked to see if?
You know, most men are not at risk of HPV-related disease.
Yeah, but they could pass it.
Yes, it's true. Men are the unknowing carriers and distributors of HPV, and so they have a responsibility to be wearing condoms. But it's not going, and though they can pass it to their female partners and perpetuate the virus and therefore cancer potentially, it's not going to be a problem for most men in their own health.
Mm. All right. Well, a lot of great information about women's health today and obviously about breast cancer awareness. So how can women get a hold of you if they want to make an appointment or want to find out more about the services you provide?
Wonderful. Yes, we'd love to hear from the women in town and nearby. So our office is located in the Peace Health Complex. We're at 340 9th Street, and the clinic phone number is 541-902-1634.
All right. It's been a pleasure. Welcome from Chicago and welcome to Florence. And we're glad you're here.
I'm so happy to be here.
Dr. Justine Parker, everybody, on this edition of Doc Talk. Tune in again next month. We'll delve more into medical and health issues.
You have been listening to Doc Talk, presented by Peace Health Peace Harbor Medical Center. For more information on the program and services provided, visit peacehealth.org.